Blog Talk Radio.
Besides, relationships are just people that are just waiting for something better to come along.
Spoken like a cynic.
I'm not a cynic. I'm a realist.
Who are a realist masquerading as a cynic who is secretly an optimist.
Originally from Brooklyn, coming to you from New Jersey.
Yes.
Hi, I'm Miss Laverne. I'm from Jersey City.
Hi, baby.
Welcome to the show.
I'm the only one from here. Okay. Okay. Well, let's get into this, ladies. Let me just put a disclaimer out here right now. I'm not my most vibrant self right now. As everybody knows, I'm a little under the weather. I'm going through a couple little medical issues, so my head is killing me. I'm not feeling well, but you know I do not miss my show. Let's dig in. Tonight we are talking about domestic violence. So this is the month of October. The whole month of October is designated for awareness for domestic violence. We have some statistics to throw out. We have some opinions to throw out. Most importantly for me, as always, I like to hear what our audience has to say for them calling in and giving their opinions. I'm sure I got people listening in already. You want to talk to us, you have to press 1 after dialing in the number and hearing the producer will then come in and let you know. If you want to talk, you talk. If you do not want to talk, or you want to talk anonymously, you can do either or. Ladies, let's just dive into this. Laverne, you want to start off because we know you have some stories to tell.
Yes. Hi, I'm Laverne. Welcome. Me, I've been going through it all week about this subtopic. It just opened up something inside me because I was that person. I'm like, thank my God because I'm a miracle. You know, love got me stuck into a relationship where I thought it was okay to get beat up. And didn't want to tell nobody. I was always have to tell somebody I fell or whatever, my grandmother. Until I wind up maybe a month and a half later, waking up in the hospital. So I went into a coma. I got my soul busted. Yeah, I had my whole side of my face was reconstructed.
I wish I could hold
me back by posting a picture of me. You know how Facebook is.
Right.
But I think I'm going to send it to the show because I look at that picture.
You should. Because here's the thing. Awareness is the only thing that's going to stop things from happening. If you don't tell your story, then everybody else is going to be afraid to tell their story. There are things that we cannot be afraid of doing. Sometimes we have to be transparent and just let everything out.
Yeah.
You know.
And I'm
so happy to know that you made it through it.
I suffered with the seizures from it. You know, I have a veil over one of my eyes, but I thank God that I'm here. I call me a miracle. You know, I call myself a miracle.
Exactly. You couldn't have made it through, but you did.
I was able enough to tell the police, yes, it was him. We got him locked up. And as a matter of fact, he's still locked up.
Good.
Now,
good.
How
I'm
long
glad
were you in this relationship?
I wasn't even in long. I was caught on a rebound of getting out of a relationship. My kid's father, and I was vulnerable. And this man, it was about, just to say, the excitement of all this money and jewelry and stuff that he was throwing at me. I felt for that, not knowing who the person really was until I say no on something and I got beat. I got beat with belts and everything.
Oh.
I got put outside. I had to sit outside and everything, yeah. With my kids, and it's not even his kids, but my kids had to stay in there. They he went for them out.
And they had to see all of that.
Yeah. Yes.
Now, how long did it take you to get to the point when you left? Was it the last time when you really got hurt?
The last time
when
someone found me.
Right.
I stayed in it a good while. I stayed in it for maybe like 2.5 years. And
now, these are the questions we need to ask. What makes you stay? Is it fear? Is it dependency? Is it? Because those are the things that, you know, are questions that people, you know, we're very judgmental as people. We really are. So we're quick to be like, Carolina, that's the first time. You don't know that. You don't know that.
You
don't know what your circumstances were.
You
was.
Don't, because people,
when
they start seeing little sights of it and the kids crying when they come over, when he walks by, you know, I just went leave. It wasn't even about being happy anymore. It was like, I was scared to leave. Will he kill me? You know, because it always was said, I'll kill you and your family, and I know where your grandmother lives. So I was protecting everybody else, not protecting myself. And yeah, so how I didn't really walk out, I was found. You know, I was found in a room, door locked, and the kids was crying near the door. You know, and it was like a month and a half later when I woke up out of the coma, you know, They went, you know, everything was going out of the room. No mirrors, no nothing, and stuff.
I mean, I have to say, because, you know, I don't have to say much because we got a caller.
There we go.
So, let's call her in and see what the caller has to say, and then we'll get back to you, Laverne, because we really need to hear your story.
Okay.
All right, caller, you on the air? Do we have the caller on?
Yes, is this me? Yeah, what's up? How you, Horo, everybody? How are you?
Hello.
Are you? Who do we have on the air?
This is Art Jackson.
Well, hello, Art.
Peace and blessings,
ladies.
Yes, peace and blessings. Peace and blessings.
Yes. Artie is not, he's originally from Jersey, but he is now, and were you in North Carolina, Artie?
Yeah, I'm in North Carolina.
North Carolina now. So we got North Carolina on the line with us. What do you have to say, honey?
I really just want to just share really quickly, you know, domestic violence in our community is really, really, really high, and it's having devastating effects. And one of the things we do know that children that grow up in a relationship where their parents are in abusive relationships, whether male or female, tend to grow up and become abusers or become abused. And lastly, I just want to say, you know, and this affects all relationships, gay, straight. We actually have a group of women that I'm working with right now who are HIV positive and who have been abused before when their partners found out that they were positive. They were attacked, abused, and so it's real. And I want to say this to my brother. If you have to put your hand on a woman or your partner, period, you're a coward. I have no respect for you. And I just there's no excuse. And I just believe in karma. So when you beat that woman, eventually, or your partner, eventually somebody's going to beat you. So just know your time is coming. And I'm going to let y'all go back to your program and just share. I love y'all and I love the show.
Thank you, honey.
Thank you.
I'll talk to you soon. You know, that's a valid point. You know, yeah, thanks, Artie.
Arnie holds us down a lot. Arnie is an advocate for HIV. He's very, very into the community where he is and in Jersey as well. If anybody needs any information about that, get in touch with me. I'll push in touch with him and work like that. He's right. It doesn't just affect the woman. And we're not going to get into anything else right now. We're just talking about domestic violence goes both ways. But it does affect the children, too.
Yes, it does.
And sometimes they grow up to be very abusive, or if they don't grow up to be abusive, they grow up to be very introverted because they don't know how to show who they are. They're afraid to show who they are because truth sometimes gets in trouble, as you see. She said no one time. You said no one time, and that's what happened to you. You know,
yes.
So it's a serious situation. We not only have to worry about domestic violence when it comes to couples, but we have it. Sonia, our caller who called in last week, made it very clear because she works for a school that it happens in colleges more than we like to know. It's happening in Rutgers. It's happening in Montclair. It's happening in wherever you can think of. Domestic violence is happening in our colleges even more rapidly now than ever before. So how do we catch this? What do we do to help these young men realize that is not the path you want to go down? That is not the path you want to go down. And then the other thing that's screwed up about it is that have them beat the women. The women retaliate to defend themselves. A lot of states do not have common law to have self-defense laws. So now I got to go to jail for defending myself from this man beating the hell out of me? Does that make sense? Where is our justice system? What's that? So just let him beat me? Don't defend myself? How'd that work?
No.
You've been kind of quiet. What you got to say, yeah? You've been kind of quiet.
Well, you know what?
I know that ain't true.
I'm sitting back and I'm listening. And I'm just amazed, Ms. Laverne, at your story. And I want to say thank you so much for coming out and sharing that with us, because at the end of the day, you know, I told you, you and I spoke earlier today, Laverne, and I told you, sweetheart, secrets keep us sick. When we keep things
secret,
we have got to tell. We have to tell on these secrets. We can't keep them secrets. And, you know, I don't know if you guys know, like you and I talked earlier about the domestic violence also that happens to the men. You know, I have a good friend. Unfortunately, they couldn't be on the show tonight, and they asked me to speak on their behalf from the man's point of view, and he was a victim where he was actually getting stabbed. He has keloids.
Wow.
I see them all the time. He has them in his skull.
Wow.
He has them on his chest. One is when he wears his, that he has been stabbed by his ex-girlfriend in arguments. Okay, and you know, I don't know, you know, I've been in situations where I have had men put their hands on me, and I guess I was just so fortunate. I was one of those women that got out when it happened the first time.
Right.
You know, I don't know what it was in me that you know, made me just say, I'm leaving, I can't stay for this, you know. And just want to say one more thing before I go, because I know a lot of people want to get on, and I know the boards are lit up, and a lot of people want to talk about this, but I'm not sure. We're going to have this information on the website as well, folks, okay? But just to let you guys know real quick, there is a website that you can go to if you've been the victim of domestic violence for compensation. It's called Crime Victim Compensation, okay? And what happens is it's a team of specializes in assisting violent crime victims and their loved ones in obtaining support services like loss of earnings or support, counseling costs, the cost to repair or replace items or essential property that you may have lost due to domestic violence, reasonable court transportations if you have to go to court. And we're going to post a website so that you guys can go on here, and there's much, much, much more information than that. And that in that crime victims compensation is in New York areas, New Jersey areas, in the Texas area, and in the Pennsylvania area. We're going to post the phone number so that you guys can go on www.shadowwomen.com.
There's also a
shelter in New Jersey, in North, that caters to domestic violence. I worked there for a short time, and I have to tell you something. I took it home with me every night, and I was absolutely relieved when they had to do a layoff and they chose me. I was ready to go.
Wow.
To watch those women come in that place, and the kids, some of the kids beaten, or the kids just shivering and crying. I got kids. You know, I took that home with me every night, nightmares after nightmares, watching this stuff. Now, however, on the flip side of that, you also have the people who abuse the system, where you know that if you go into a domestic violence shelter, they're going to give you shelter then, and then they're going to assist you with other programs to now get you set up on your own so that you don't have to go back into that environment.
You're right.
I told my girlfriend what happened to me because after he beat me, I went to the shelter. They really helped me. They did this, they did that, they did this, they did that. And so that one person who's a hustler called in. All you have to do is say you were domestically. You don't have to come in with physical bruises. You just have to say it.
You're right.
And we have to believe it. Because we also have to remember that domestic violence is also not about physical abuse, but it's also about mental abuse. It's also about financial abuse. I mean, it goes so much further than just the physical. And I'm going to tell you one statement I cannot stand to hear. I'd rather you beat me because my wounds will heal. No, bitch, don't beat me. Don't talk shit to me. Don't treat me. Don't do none of that. No, we ain't doing none of this. So all of them are equally as evil to me as beating me or treating me bad or spitting on me or treating me like a dog. They're equally to me all evil. They're all evil. So nothing is worse than the other. You know what I'm saying? You can dial this number for the shelter, and then it will direct you to the. And I know there's an 800 number I wasn't able to get. Like I said, I was not feeling myself this week. I'm just glad to be here tonight with you guys. 973-399-3400 is the number that you can call, and it will direct you to the shelter.
Well, actually, you know what, Uli? I have a number. I have a number, an 800 number. It's a toll-free number, which is 888-988-0736, and you can call and speak to a support specialist in those areas, and they will direct you from there. And as far as the shelter information, you can speak to them about if you need shelter, because we can't give the address over the air because that information has to be kept confidential. I'm sure you guys know why we can't give that information. We would not want your abuser to be able to find you.
That's right. That's right. But you notice, though, when you go to the hospital, that's the first thing they ask you, is you in a domestic violence, or are you scared to go back home? That's the first thing that they ask now. When you go through the emergency room, they don't ask you what's hurting. They ask you that question now. And I think that's great. Yeah, I think that is fantastic that they ask that now, you know, because that's where you can get your help when you go in there.
That could be on the flip side, too, Laverne. That could be on the flip side, too, because if I come into the hospital, I'm already afraid. So I'm not even sure if I'm ready to tell what's going on, because I don't know if he might be looking for me. They might send me back. I don't know because I've never done this before. So sometimes I think we need to be a little more considerate and a little more up. My opinion don't count. Our callers do. Hold on a second. We got a caller calling in. Caller, you on the air? Caller, you there?
Hello.
Now we have a little difficulty. Caller.
Hello.
All right. Hello, caller.
Hello, ladies. How are you?
Hi.
Hi, how you doing?
Thanks for calling in.
Thank you for taking my call. I just wanted to, you know, I was listening to the show, and I just kind of wanted to chime in because, you know, this is a very important topic, and, you know, it's something that, you know, we need to talk about, and sometimes we don't talk about it. And all of, you know, all of the things that you guys were saying, you know, were good and important. But I just wanted to chime in and let everyone know that every town in New Jersey, every police department in New Jersey is supposed to have a domestic violence response team or an advocate, someone who, if you have a situation, a domestic violence situation, you can either go into the police station or you can call into the police station and you can speak to someone, an advocate, who will be there to talk to you about domestic violence, talk to you about your situation. Sometimes victims just need someone to talk to. Sometimes victims need assistance with getting a restraining order. Sometimes they don't know what a restraining order is. They don't know how to go about it. Sometimes when you go to a police department to get a restraining order, a lot of times, you know, and it's just because, you know, their job, but the police are very tunnel vision with what they do. They're about the business. They don't have the emotional side. The domestic violence response team members are there to provide that emotional side. So what a victim could do is go to your police department, or you can call in and you can ask to speak to a member of a domestic violence response team, and someone will come out and talk to you and, you know, talk to you about your options, let you know what you can do, what you can't do, what your choices are, and help you go through those processes. And it's very important to have someone there to, you know, help you through those moments. And I know, you know, I looked online, and as far as, like, Essex County goes, a lot of towns in Essex County, they have them. Montclair, Millburn, East Orange, Newark, Irvington, you know, they all have them. All you have to do is call up, and it's totally confidential. They're open 365, seven days a week, 24 hours a day. Someone is always available to talk to you and help you through your process.
That's good to know. That is great information. Well, we appreciate
that.
That's great information. You know, I don't even know where to start with this topic, but it's so, I don't know, it's so serious, you know. And the thing about it is, some women who are in this situation, and if you're listening in, you know, and you're trying to get out of that situation, you need to start preparing yourself, because you just can't get up one day and just bounce. You got to prepare yourself for an exit. You got to prepare yourself for an exit strategy. You know, your kids need to have, you need to have keywords that you're using, and, you know, different little things that you need to do if you're trying to exit, because that's when most of the domestic violence situations become fatal, is when you get up like, I'm leaving, I'm getting out of here. You can't do it like that. You can't do it like that, you know.
No,
you got to make
sure.
Yeah, no, you can't. You can't. You got to make sure that you prepare for this, you know. And if it takes you 3 months, 2 months, 6 months, whatever it does, prepare for it. Make sure that your family knows this is where I'm going, this is what I'm doing, this is this particular day. Kids, meet me at this particular time. You know, this is our keywords or whatever. Wait for that man not to be there, and then, you know, get to a safe place, you know.
And you know, there's also an app. There's an app that you can download. I don't want to say over the air what it's called. We will be offering that information to anyone who asks for it, because we don't want to even put it out there on the website for anyone else to be able to see it. But when you do go onto this app, what happens is when you tap the app, okay, you can actually download the app, go in it, you can have emergency contact people on that app, and when you activate it, when you're in a domestic violence situation, what happens is those people will be called, and you can also program it to have 911 contacted and hear everything that is going on, and the app is hidden. It doesn't look like that type of an app. That would do for domestic violence. It's a great thing to have, so that just in case you need to do this secretly, like if something is going on, you can let 911 know, that, and they can hear every single thing that is going on, and so that you can call the police and also let your loved ones know as well.
That's great.
I mean, so what are we? Okay, we have. This is a wonderful time. I love when I hear that. I love when I hear that phone ring. That's a caller in.
I'm here. I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
This is Melody. Hey,
oh,
Good to hear.
I just wanted to say I think this is like really a great topic because I have a girlfriend right now who is in the state of North Carolina who is really, really under the wire. She's in a state where she knows not one person other than the man that she picked up and moved in with. And it is very heartening. And it's also hard, too, when we have a lot of our women that are being abused who have police officers who are family and friends. So they can't even go to the police department because their information is not going to be considered. It's not going to be something that they protect them. But it's unfortunate that we as women, you know, we have neighbors and we have people that we see on a daily basis that unfortunately we don't have the comfort zone. We don't have a comfort zone outside of the legal system that we can lean on, even if it's your friend, your sister, your somebody. It's a very deadly secret. You know, we used to always have this thing where, you know, you say, oh, girl, can you keep a secret? No, I can't.
Exactly.
Because if it saves your life,
secret to a certain degree, not if it's about your life.
But you know, but when people start coming at you like that, it's automatically something wrong with something that got to be so kept. You know, it's always something wrong when it got to be that kept. You know, when you can't tell nobody what's going on with you. But it's just very sad that we don't have that comfort zone in the legal system or in the private sector, that women don't have a security, that they don't know what to go to do and where to go. I lost two girlfriends to domestic violence. That's why even when the subject came up the other day, I responded with a zero tolerance for it. I don't care who is involved with. Some women that are beating some men. I happen to have had a mother that stood 6 feet and wore 12 shoes. Not the average man could beat my mother, but all it takes is one good blow. One good blow could take her out of here. You know, if you don't respect nobody in life, when you as a man can take your hand and use it in any other man other than to rub my soothe, my comfort, and my needs, you know?
But
it's just very heartening that women are not just being beaten. Women are dying out here because of this.
Yes.
When we was in school, Northeastern University, he smacked her with just a back smack and shifted her whole brain before she hit the floor. She was dead. So don't take for granted, we as sisters say, well, he didn't beat me. He just hit me or he just smacked me. Well, I'm here to spread news.
A smack will take
your life. He smacked her with one
smack.
He didn't beat her. It's more than that, Melody.
It's more than that, Melody. That was probably not an incident that we probably both never hear that again. But listen, that one smack is going to lead to two smacks.
My father lived to be 91 years old. Before he died, he said to me, he said, let me tell you something about men, and I'm 91, he said. He said, when a man look at you, threaten you, and hit a wall, that's your fate in disguise.
Believe it.
So when we as
Believe
women
it.
Get into arguments with our men, and they telling you, oh, this is another famous one, you better shut up or else. Those are signals telling you that you know what's coming next is going to be something that you ain't going to be able to deal with nor accept.
Exactly.
So we got to start stepping up our standards and how we even fight with our lovers and our husbands and our brothers and our fathers. It's a standard.
We have to know the key things to look out for.
Oh, yeah.
We can't
the
just
whispers.
Pretend, oh, he was just mad. No, if he is saying, what they always say to you, when somebody shows who they are, believe
That's
it.
Who they are.
Believe it.
Just to let you know what you just said, Uli, that app has those signs of what domestic abuse is before it starts on
in your face, and it's the hitting the wall. It starts with the slamming the doors and all of those little things.
What it starts with is the loud speaking.
Oh, yeah.
Your voice elevating when there's no need to be elevating your voice to me, especially if we are in public. Don't talk to me like that because I'm not talking to you like that.
Right. And I believe that there's a way to argue and fuss and fight with people that you say you love, even if it's your friend, your husband, your wife. There's a way to argue and disagree with people that you love.
But you can tell the difference in the aggression. You can tell
when you meet somebody, they not always just coming straight out and showing you who they are. You know, you gotta really
that's that representative.
Sometimes
that's that representative that you meet.
exactly, Melody. Shoot.
Yeah, that's that representative.
Yes. Let me tell you what my brother said to
he
me.
He don't come
I
out
come
and say, I'm
going to
kill you tomorrow. He do it slow.
Exactly. And those are the real smooth ones. I have 10 brothers and 3 sisters. So I've seen it all, you know.
Oh, yeah.
And my oldest brother said to me, one day, he said, let me say that. Remember, I might have been like 10 or 11 when he said this. He said, I'm going to say this to you now so you understand as you get older and you start dating. If a man puts his hands on you, I will kill you.
Yeah.
But if you go back to him, then I'm going to kill you. And I'm like, huh? What you going to kill me for?
Mm-hmm.
And I was young then. I didn't think about it.
Mm-hmm.
So what he's saying is, wait, I'm going to take this man's life and go to jail for my sister. But if your dumbass go knock on his door and go back to him, what would be the point of me doing it?
Yeah.
Exactly. That's why my brother, and I have one blood brother, but I have a whole lot of adopted brothers, the Michael Jaspers and the Roddy's, God bless his soul, and a whole lot of Malcolm Cornegates. Yeah.
Wait,
I'm
Melody,
not that they
wait a minute. Wait, Melody. Hold on. Are you Melina's Melody?
I'm Melina's Melody, Uli.
No. Okay, Melody.
Hey, Uli. I saw you on Facebook shaking your butt.
For me and
Yeah, I saw y'all. But no, I just, you know, it's sad that, you know, they used to always say, let me tell you something.
I know that mouth of yours is tight, it's deadly, and it's dangerous. So let's do it like this. If you involved with a man and he can't really handle you getting in his face, then you need to leave him alone, because I got a saying, if I can't get in your face, then you can't get on top of me. So if you can't handle that kind of pressure, you can't handle that kind of pressure with me being in your face and saying what I got to say to you because you did something that I feel is disrespectful, then we can't be together. But they used to always tell me, but if that man hits you and you ain't ready to go, don't come tell us because we ain't trying to catch a case or kill nobody.
Exactly.
And you crying over what we did or even go to the police and say, they just did something to my man.
Exactly.
You know,
exactly. And that happens.
And
that happens.
It does. It happens all the time. Because at the end of the day, we as women are little girls at heart. And all we really want to do is be happy. All we want to do is find just some little small measure of happiness. It's just unfortunate that a lot of us can't find it in ourselves. So, therefore, we're incapable of looking and seeking and searching for that in anybody else, whether it be a man, whether it be your job or any. If you can't find the smallest piece of respect for and dignity for yourself, you can forget about it coming to you from anywhere else because no one else is going to do it. So we have a tendency to set ourselves up. And the enemy see us when we coming, and he see us all bright and pretty eyed, and he say, yeah, there's another one I'm going to get. And instead of us being able to say, oh, no, not here, we settle for those things because we need a whole lot of things. We need money. We need things. We need stuff. We need a lot of things that we don't realize that, you know, we come from the greatest of love of all, and that is the God that created us. And he didn't tell me I was second best and second class to nobody. So, I find it hard, we have a lot of our women. I saw a movie one day, and in the show, it was like the girl, she was repeating because her mother was telling her, well, you know, this is what, oh, that's just men. You know, that's just what they do.
Right.
You know, we
make
excuses.
And that's what she's teaching her.
And the saddest thing about it is women. It's mothers that's making that excuse for these men.
Yes.
Mothers birth
yes.
men that abuse
yes.
women.
Yes.
Not animals.
Yes.
So,
yes.
you know, I don't want to keep going because I'll get real excited about it, you know.
This topic is something to get excited about. It's been quiet too long. It's been hush-hush so long. But
let me tell you
about what I want to
say this real quick. The saddest thing about the one girlfriend that I had, that husband who was a firefighter in the state of New Jersey, he didn't kill my girlfriend that he was beating every day that he was married to. He killed her twin sister going to her house to pick up her belongings.
Yeah.
She thought, oh, you could go get my stuff because he's at work. But something in him said, I ain't going to work today. So instead of him working his 3 and 4 days on and off, he decided he was going to come home early and caught my girlfriend's sister, twin sister in there, and beat her to death. Beat her so bad that they couldn't even have an open casket. So, you know, it goes to show you that, you know, we could sit here and say, get out. But until you get sick and tired of being sick and tired, it's going to keep going. And every everybody has a boundary.
But that's,
I
but
just
that's
pray
what
that
I was getting ready to say. That's what I was getting my point I was going to make. What can we do to help or explain to them? Because we know that we've talked to different women who have been in domestic situations, and some of them it's a financial situation. I can't leave. He pays all the bills. I got kids. Where are we going to go?
Right.
Okay. That's the one situation where I get it. Where are you going to go? You'll know where you're going to go. You'll know what you're going to do. I get it. The other situation is I love him. But does he love you? Because if he loved you, we wouldn't be here talking about this.
Right.
The other situation is fear. Just straight up, I am fearful for leaving because he's going to come find
me. That was me.
So these are the conversations we need to have with these women that they have to know that they're somewhere safe that they can go.
But you got to
that they
only
you got to tell their story.
You got to also remember too, okay? Just I mean, this type of abuse is also kind of similar to like an addiction, a drug addiction, okay?
It is.
What happens is these women, okay, a lot of times, and you said it, when you said, don't let me come over there, the brother's telling you, don't let me come over there and do something, and then you go back. And that's exactly what happens. The women go back because they're addicted to the love that they used to get, the guy that they used to be with.
They're addicted to that sickness. They are drawn to that sickness.
That drug, when you smoking it, how you be like, you know what, I'm trying to get back to that first high. That's what it is. If anybody looked at those clips that I posted up two different clips, okay? One woman was being abused. They were both being abused, excuse me. One abuse, the person had this black eye. She was bruised from head to toe, but guess what? Blood was drawn. And in the other I posted, that woman, she was beat, and not as badly, but he busted her lip and her eye. And you know what the unfortunate thing is? The unfortunate thing is the one that was all bruised up really bad, okay? That guy got 2 years in jail. He held her for 6 hours and beat her. I mean, she was terribly. Now, the other guy who drew blood, he went to jail for 7 years. Okay, and they said it in the clips. They said it's because blood was drawn. I don't remember what state that was in. Okay, but
that's any state. When blood is drawn, when blood is drawn, the state no longer takes over. It becomes It's more the domestic violence rule thing. The state takes over. So whether she wants to press charges or not, state is coming and the state is pressing charges. Yeah.
And he should.
2 years that guy got. Actually, he only had 2 months left to serve after the trial happened. He'd been here for a year and a half, so really he only had 2 months left after that. And it's a shame. But, you know, unfortunately, the women that this happens to, you know, some of them, they do go back, and they are insecure, and they have other issues. There's nothing that you or I can do for some. Okay, now that we're doing this show because there are some of those women that we can help. But unfortunately, you are going to have a handful that you're not going to be able to help because they don't want to help.
Okay, what about helping the brothers, though? What about, see, we are kicking the brothers back then for doing the abuse, but something happened in their life that has made them so evil, so hateful.
Yeah.
We need to help them too. You know what I'm saying? Like, so you put him in jail for 2 years. But did you do anything to help him while he was in there?
I believe in them getting the support and the help. But you know, we all have to take responsibility and accountability also for our own actions, and every man gotta carry his own weight. So even though I have some issues, just because I was abused or I went through this or I went through that, that doesn't give me a right. And guess what? The consequences of
a
learning man is
hard.
I'm
not saying that it gives you a right.
They
doesn't
do
give
need
anybody
help.
A right to do anything. However, you do need help.
They
so
need help.
Because we're saying he did it and we know he did it and he takes responsibility, that's not going to change the next time he meets somebody else. If he
says,
I beat the hell out of her,
no,
okay, you took responsibility. You did it. But what happens to the next girlfriend he meets? If he hasn't gotten any psychological help,
you're
going to
be
the next girl.
That's global.
And you're going to be the next girl. So it becomes a pattern for you. You know. I had a girlfriend. We were really good friends, and I was dating her brother.
I'm saying.
And she was She was dating a guy that was very abusive, and she called me one day. She moved out of state with the guy, and she called me one day, and she said, I'm getting ready to send you a picture of what he just did to me. Please do not tell my brother. Please don't tell my brother. I said, okay. Now, in my mind, I'm saying, girl, can you send me the picture? I'm forwarding it. So she sent me the picture, and I almost threw it in my mouth. And I said, I'm sorry. I'm not just forwarding this to him. I'm sending it to the cops down there and everybody else because this cannot happen. Pack your stuff and come back to Jersey and come stay with me. You cannot stay in that situation like that. You cannot. So I sent it to the brother, I sent it to the mom, I sent it to everybody. She ain't speak to me for a good 6 months. But she got out of that situation because
you know what?
She got
and you
locked
know
up.
What? A lot more of us need to do that because I had a girlfriend that was in the same situation that lived in Brooklyn while I was in New Jersey. I was the only friend that she had that this man did not know where she lived. And then you know what the sad part is? He had already been to jail, just like you said. He had already been to jail for damn near killing the one before her, okay? And then he was with her, and now he's starting to beat her. So whose house did she have to come and live to? She had to come and stay with me in New Jersey because I was the only friend that she had that he didn't know where I lived.
But see, you know what happens with that? Let me tell you what happens with that. Now she puts you in danger. Let me tell you why. We as women who are in that situation are angry at that moment. At that moment, they're angry.
At everybody.
Somewhere down the line, I'm calling him back, and we're going to try to talk this out. Okay, let me tell you why I'm saying this. I worked at that shelter. They were never supposed to disclose the address of the shelter.
That's right.
Never.
That's right.
Because you're putting everybody else in the shelter, including the counselors, harm's way. So we go, Andre, go home one night. I have to get off I-311.
Press
311. One. Go home, and you on the corner talking to a boy. That same boy can come in here and shoot all of us up. Shoot all of us up. So they don't think. We don't think. You know, just like the young lady's sister got killed. Did she really think if her sister went over, he was going to do something to her? No. They might have a little argument, a little words here and there, but he would never hurt.
He's not
going to
mess with
sister.
You.
I'm
you go ahead.
He might call her a name. You know, he might call her names and this and that, but he'll never touch her. He'll never hurt her. The lies we tell, because when we get angry, we don't think straight.
Yeah, and we don't consider our own life. So, you know, we're not considering our own life. We're not considering our sisters and our brothers. And that's what's very sad. You know, there's a lot of broken and sick men. There's a lot of broken men. There's a lot of broken women giving birth to these men that are growing up.
Yes.
And they're taking examples of their mothers and their fathers, and they're taking a whole lot of other stuff and crap from society, and they're thinking that it's justifiable that at some point in life, because she said or did this, that it gives you a right to take your grown hand and put it on another grown woman because she said or did something you didn't like. I got to say, you don't like it, leave. But to hit somebody, first of all, you can't raise nobody. That's what you do with the children. You spank them. You know, they do what you don't like them to do or whatever. You give them a spanking, but not with your woman.
But even that. But even that.
And
even
that.
We need to watch. But
sometimes, you know, as adults,
as parents. Because that's not the answer either. Exactly.
Yeah,
we need to control that,
too.
That's abuse, too.
Yeah, it is to a certain level. But a lot of us is here today because of the whipping, you know. But
all right, Melody, hold on 1 second. Hold on, ladies. We got another caller coming. Don't go anywhere, Melody. Stay right there.
I'm not. Okay.
Caller?
Hello? Yes.
You're on the air.
Okay. All right. My name is Tariq. I'm just listening to your show. I just came on, so I'm trying to figure out what the topic is about.
Domestic violence.
The topic is about domestic violence, and I am so glad a brother chose to call in, even though you didn't know what the doggone show was about.
Exactly.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
So would you like to join in the conversation?
Can we ask you a question?
Okay, but what you will have to do is, if you're driving in a car or you have the windows down, you need to roll your windows up, and you can't scream into the phone because I can't hear you that good.
Okay. So everybody heard that? Turn your TV down, roll your windows up, or whatever we're doing.
Okay, so, brother, can I ask you a question? Being that the show is about domestic violence, and right now, because we had women on the show, we were talking about how women have experienced domestic violence, you know, but I had iterated earlier in the show that men have also experienced domestic violence, meaning that there are women that put their hands on men as well, and men don't retaliate. Have you ever been the victim, or should I say survivor, of domestic violence in that sense?
Yes, I have. And that's a good point that you're making here, because a lot of women are always being provocative in some kind of way as towards to a man, only because they want their way. You know, they don't see things the way the man sees it, and they become debatable about it. Okay, if the man says, okay, well, I don't want to talk about it, then the woman becomes persistent. Once she becomes persistent, she's also being threatening. Now, if the man is like me, per se, I don't hit women. Okay, I never hit a woman.
I can't say that.
Okay, but no, I can't say that because I did once before. And that's because she became very provocative and put her hands on me. And while I was trying to tell her, that's not good. I'm trying to walk away from it, but she's still done it again. So I just actually just threw my hand up real quick and it hit her. And when it hit her, I felt bad. I cried. She cried. But I'm crying for a different reason. She's crying because she's bruised. I'm crying because I hurt her. And I hurt myself in the process of hurting her.
So you mean to say that? Time you ever put your hand on her, and then you felt bad about it when you did it.
Exactly. Because I grew up in a household where my family was together, and my dad used to put his hands on my mother, which turned me not to like him.
Right.
You know, no man should be able to put, I don't care what situation it is, even when, and that's something that I learned, even when a woman put their hands on you, it's not hurtable. She can strike you in your face, but you done been punched in the face by men with their pounds for pounds hurt way more than what a woman can do to you.
Thank you.
So my thing is, if she strike you, the best thing to do is just to get away from her.
Well, that's the big picture right there. When things get escalated like that, when they start to elevate like that, someone has got to be the bigger person to walk away. Whether it's her with her big mouth, because we know I got a big mouth. I do. Oh, my God, I'm hard. But I know my limits. I know when I see a situation getting a little out of hand, I'm like, he may, and I ain't saying he's never hit me before, but just because he's never hit me before doesn't mean it could be a first time for everything.
Yes.
We're not even going to figure this one out. We ain't even going to wait to see if this is going to turn out like that. What I'm going to do is shut up right now, let you cool off one minute, and then I'll come back later and tell you what I feel. But right now, we're going to just let this go right now.
It's easy for you to say, but a woman that has a big mouth is a woman that's always going to come right back with the same stuff.
Not true.
I'm not saying 100% of the women.
But as a man, you should still be able to handle that, though.
Thank you.
I can handle it.
But that doesn't make it right.
And I'm saying, me and you have an argument, and I walk out of the room and walk into another room, and you follow me with the same conversation, what does that mean? Leave it alone. I heard exactly what you said. Even if I don't respond to you, that means I heard what you said. But this conversation is about to get out of hand, so I'm going to walk away from you.
No, I just think that's different now.
I just think that when people walk away from each other, they're looking for a neutral corner. But I just feel like two adult people, whether it's at home or on your job, I should be able to disagree with you, raise my voice, or what have you, as long as there's no blows being given. As a man, I think the pressures of the world is a lot larger than your woman arguing with you. So if you can't handle your woman arguing with you.
Wait a minute, because if I walk away from you, why are you challenging me? Why are you provoking me into a conversation that I'd rather not be in? So what I'm trying to say is just leave it alone. I mean, if you're an adult, you should know when it's called timeout. That timeout means that I walked away from you. That means if you keep following me with this conversation, and I'm telling you that I understood, I heard, and okay, we'll deal with this situation later. Because this is what I'm saying to you.
We're talking about that's a rational conversation. But what we're talking about, what we were trying to get out of this conversation, we went through all the women's domestic. What we're talking about right now is, Melody, what we're talking about right now is those women, not just big mouth women like me and you, those women who want to put their hands on you, want to put fingers in your face, want to smack you, want to throw shit at you. Those are what we're talking about right now. Those things like that can make a person next. He probably would have never stepped before. And I'm not giving him a pass because she did it. And I don't care if it felt like a mosquito bit you or not. You do not have the right to put your hands on him like he doesn't have the right to put his hands on you.
Exactly.
I don't give a damn what you're
doing. Exactly. Which is right. But once you got me to this point, see, this is how I'm speaking from a man's point of view. You know, there's a lot of men that can't not deal with that kind of stuff. They just can't deal with it. You know what I mean? I mean, if I'm the man, I wear the pants, I do the very best that I can do for you, which I also have a plan to do better for you. But if you become that kind of woman that's nagging all the time and just walk behind me, want to hit me, and such and such, our relationship is limited. There's only a...
No, baby, your relationship is over.
The relationship is over.
Because that woman is not the woman for you, because that's who she's going to be. That's not going to change. I don't care if you buy her diamonds and furs and Mercedes-Benz. She's still going to be that same nagging, whining
woman.
So when that happens, instead of becoming... I race to the point where you do get so upset that you put your hands on her. It is time to end the relationship. See, that's what we don't do. That's what we don't do. And that goes on both sides.
Some woman is not an abusive woman in all cases. You got some women that are nag and fuss and fight because that's just what they do. But then you got some straight up women that just straight up knock ball punch men in their faces. Now those are the
Melody, abuse does not just come in physical. It's abuse when you're nagging and cursing. That's abuse. That's mental abuse.
That's true.
You're falling out of board. The point is this.
That's true. But our bosses do this.
When things become elevated. Escalated to the point where you are screaming to the top of your lungs, and there could be any kind of violence whatsoever, and you cannot go into neutral quarters, that relationship should dissolve.
What if you're not yelling?
True.
And the person wants you like to yell. You're like, you can't talk, B. You can't talk, bitch. Talk. But you're not fighting back. You're just being quiet, so you still getting beat up because you're not talking.
Yeah, I got one like that too. Yeah, I got a girlfriend like that.
But while you're not talking, he's making you talk and telling you what to say. And the more you say
he
gets angry.
Hold on, everybody can't talk at the same time. You know, because you can't hear each other.
Laverne, in your mind then, you in that point too, you also know that's how he is. So we're never going to have a conversation because that's how he is. It's time to dissolve that relationship. We hold on to relationships for the stupidest reasons.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Because
financial reasons is the biggest reason why women...
Bottom line, love.
The relationship stays for women basically longer because it's a financial thing, not an emotional thing. It's a financial thing. For women.
Yep.
For men, it's an ownership thing. I'm ready to let it go. When I'm done with it, then I'll let it go. So we need to be mature enough and smart enough to know this relationship is going absolutely
nowhere.
And where it's going is dangerous.
Yes, exactly.
Because adults should be able to disagree without having all that kind of violence and detrimental and toxic response.
Then that came about. You have to understand that once you come into this relationship and you become argumentative and then you're striking, that's been over. So now what are you there for?
Exactly.
It's just time. You're just wasting time. So it's just a moment. You just have – it's the courage to leave.
You have to.
That's all it is.
For
the courage to get up out of this relationship.
Yeah.
It's a number of things.
Everybody's affected in the situation because even all your loved ones, your friends, your families, you know, you establish bonds amongst people, and then when violence comes into the play, it gives everybody that's involved a real uncomfortable feeling inside because you don't want to see your friend hurt and you don't want to see the man hurt. You know, at some point, whenever two adults can't even agree to disagree and argue without it turning into something physically volatile, that's a problem because your boss get on your nerves every day, but you won't punch him.
Come on.
So anywhere in life where people disagree with you, even to a point where you got some bosses that raise their voice at you. You got some bosses that don't know that will throw stuff off their desk and all kinds of things, but they're not hitting you. It's just
okay,
the
so
way we need in relationships to disagree.
Okay, hold on, ladies. Hold on, everybody. We have three. Okay, you need to turn to read now. We have somebody who's in boxing, and his question is, what about when you try to intervene to help that person, and then you become the person that's being abused?
Oh, see,
the same thing
yeah.
that happened to the young lady.
Right.
So the stuff we do, too, is we get into these relationships, the abuse happens. Patuta, I need somebody to get that out, get that out my show. I can't keep hearing everybody's conversations going on and somebody else's house. When people are being abused, and now I told my sister he hit me, and I told my mother he hit me, and now we have Thanksgiving.
No, but what you just done was
you
put everybody in the relationship.
Exactly.
Even if the relationship
now
can
you want everybody
savage.
To treat him a certain way.
Differently. They're going to look at him totally different.
And exactly.
So he's not trusted in their eye. And then, you know, your family, if your family is violent, then they want to fight.
My family's violent.
So now it becomes a whole mess because now if you hurt this man's family is going to hurt you guys. So it's just a continuation.
Exactly. That's why we need to know when to end relationships when it's toxic. That's when we need to know when we need to end relationships or when a relationship is worthy of holding on. And when you yell at me a certain way or you try to demean me or you put your hands on me, there ain't no working none of that out.
If you stay in a relationship, then you want that. You want me to beat on you. We want me to beat on you each and every day because that works. Because some people love this. That's the only way they think that a man loves them. But,
and that's true. We some of us have that warped thinking. That's true. But I don't think she wants that. I just think she doesn't understand. She doesn't understand herself. She doesn't understand real love. She doesn't understand what relationships are really supposed
I've
to be like. I don't think anybody wakes up in the morning and be like, I want him to beat me because he loves me. I don't think anybody does that.
Honestly, I've been in a relationship.
My son's
mother is like that. You have to hit her in order for her to know that you love her.
Wow.
This is the way she thinks.
And she's sick.
She needs help.
Of course she needs help.
I would just like...
It's like all of us need help. Every last one of us needs some help.
Hello? Can you hear me?
I can.
Yes, we can hear you. I also hear someone's television that is very loud.
I want to say something real quick, okay? Because we don't know if we have any young people listening to this. We all kind of like, so with this immediate conversation right here, I know we're starting age, okay? But I just would like to say, if there are any young women or young men out there listening to this, we are having a heated discussion, yes. And I think that there's some things that are definitely being missed that these young people need to know. Number one, you young girls, now, I don't care, never, ever, 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 ever. I don't give a damn if you're up in their face. We got to cut it down because we only got 1 minute and we got to cool down. We have to come back and revisit this show because we have to close out right now, ladies.
Yeah, you need another day for this.
absolutely do. I want to thank all our callers that called in today. I truly, honestly, with all my heart, appreciate it. Yes, you know you my girl, Laverne. You know you my baby. We holding it down. This is the Every Woman Talk Show, and we end always by saying we want to be your happiest hellos and your hardest goodbyes. We got to go.
Good night.
Good night.